Welcome to Rayner on Leadership. I'm Tom Rayner. I am joined, as always, by Sam Rayner, and we are going to talk about what churches are learning in the digital world. We always want to be your online source for leadership lessons and advice, and this one may be particularly applicable because many of you have been thrust into the online world probably like you haven't been in the past. Many of you may not have ever done a streaming sermon before. Many of you may not have pushed many of your church members to digital giving. We're going to be talking about these things. And what we have been doing is we have been listening to you, particularly at Church Answers. And you can always go to churchanswers.com and find out about our audience there. It's a great community of approaching 2,000 people. And we just listen to them all the time. But we're listening to what churches are learning in the digital world. And we hope that we can communicate those lessons to you so that you can use them with application in your world as well. Before we go, I want to thank Southeastern Seminary, our sponsor, whose mission is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ by equipping students to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission. They have a degree partnership with Church Answers and Revitalized Network called the Master of Arts in Church Revitalization. And as we say every time when we talk about Southeastern, if you haven't gotten the Church Future Indicator, that is a great tool to see where you're headed in the future. It's free, and you can click on the show notes and you can see all of that information. You can take that with several people. If you've downloaded it before and you want to get some of your elders or your staff to do so, get them to download that. As always, we thank Southeastern Seminary for being our sponsor at Rayner on Leadership. Sam, West Bradenton Baptist Church, Southside Church, or other campus, y'all are learning some things in the digital world, even though you are digitally astute before you went into this world.
Yeah, I don't know if I was digitally astute, but it's something that really didn't scare us. In fact, you know, a digital strategy to me is exciting. That's not necessarily the case for every pastor. It can be a challenge, particularly if you're just learning it now. But we have been thrust into it just like everyone else. And I'll just say this, I firmly believe, and this is the way we're treating it at West Bradenton. This is not a pause button. This is a reset button.
That's such a good word.
The digital strategies that we're employing right now are not meant to be like, let's just get us through it, and then we'll go back to the way we've always done things. I don't think the church is going to go back to the way things have always been done. There are going to be many things that change forever. Now, we're still going to gather. You know, my particular theology is there's no such thing as an internet church. So I think the gathering of the saints is critically important. But what we're doing is we are offering, we're experimenting with everything right now. I've told the staff, I've told everyone on the team, experiment, try anything you want to try, because our church is going to be very forgiving, as most churches are. Just the fact that you're trying something to connect. So this is this period right now is a huge opportunity to try some extraordinarily creative things that you otherwise might not have the ability to do because the church kind of pushes back on major change. Well, you can try anything and everything right now and just to see what resonates and to learn. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're taking this time to just be as creative as we possibly can. Not everything will stick and not everything will work, but man, we can learn a lot right now digitally. And so this is us not saying, let's just hit the pause button and try to get through it. This is us hitting the reset button and saying, what will we carry forward as a parallel strategy ongoing after this thing is done?
The obvious one is digital giving. We're hearing a lot about that. And at Rayner on Leadership, we've been advocates of digital giving. I have to show my cards here. I love PushPay, and I love the relationship we have with them and the fact that they're such a robust digital giving and other types of digital offerings. But this is something we've been just advocating for some time. And some churches have been dragging into it. Some churches have gone full force ahead into it. But what is it your brother said, Jess? He said, it's not just digital giving. It is, I was trying to remember.
Automated giving.
is automated giving. So
yeah, so there's
talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, and credit to Jess for creating this concept, or at least recognizing what's happening. So we have a few people that we've had several dozen actually switch from giving through the offering plate or through checks or cash and onto a digital giving platform. And it's been extraordinarily helpful for our church that people would make that move. But some of them have not automated their giving. They're just giving each week. Some of them may go back to writing a check, which is fine. We're going to continue to have all options available. But what we want from as many people as will be willing to do it is not just to give digitally, but to set up a reoccurring amount in, you know, some sort of system. That can happen through your bank. It doesn't have to happen through your digital giving platform. I think it's called an ACH transfer, if I'm not mistaken. I may be getting
automated clearinghouse. You remembered it well.
Yeah. ACH transfer. And so by the way,
it's the least expensive form of digital giving for a church.
Right. And that technology goes back years and years and years. I mean, that's been available a long time. Exactly. And it's safe, it's cheap. Now, you know, getting it all set up it's easier on a lot of digital giving platforms. You know, the interface is easier than an ACH transfer, but either way you can automate your giving. So I know I'm going to take in X amount each week. Therefore I have a reoccurring amount set up that goes to the church. I know, Dad, that's the way that you give, is through automated giving. So it's a two-part process, really. You want to get people on the digital platform, but you also want them to set up automated giving, and there is a difference. And the more that you can get to automated giving, the better it will be for your church.
We have talked on numbers of occasions, and I think really more than anybody else I know, you have brought the whole issue of attendance frequency to light. You have been the researcher that has just said, okay, we have church members who are attending less frequently. What does that mean? Well, here's a reality. Most people, if they're not in automated or digital giving, if they don't attend, they don't give. That's not everyone. But what happens with automated and digital giving is they give when they don't attend. And so you have a weather Sunday. And not every Sunday is going to be a coronavirus Sunday, but you have a weather Sunday, or you just have a long holiday weekend, and you know the numbers are going to be down. The thing about digital or automated giving is the giving will continue regardless.
Yeah, the higher the percentage of people that give through automated giving, the more likely you are to have consistent revenue streams, period. I mean, that's just common sense. You know, the first week of disruption through the coronavirus at our church, we took in half, you know, of what we would typically take in. Now, granted, it was an event, it was a one-time thing, but that's still cash flow. Some will catch up, some won't. And since we've had a very aggressive push to online giving, we're up to about 70%, maybe 80% by the time that this airs, of what we would expect to take in. But that's through digital giving. And if you want consistent cash flow, then the best way to get that is a digital giving platform. PushPay is a good one. I know you've mentioned them. They are robust. That's a good word. Excellent, excellent resource there. I would encourage you to go check out several, but PushPay should be at the top of the list.
I agree. There's this misperception that is out there that senior adults will never adapt to the digital world, but they will.
Yeah.
They will, especially when there's a season where they have a reason to. And this entire season of the coronavirus has been a season to say, now you may need to consider it. And the good thing about many of our senior adults, Sam, is once they see that it's a mission-driven purpose behind it, that it's best for the church, they usually say, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. So I'll just tell one story, and I won't mention the name, but there's an individual in our church who is older, if not elderly. And this person is very supportive of the church and everything that we're doing, but also is more of a traditionalist, very traditional kind of person, and, you know, doesn't like a lot of change. And but again, not combative about change, just, you know, struggles with change, as a lot of people do. This person signed up to give digitally. And when that happened, my financial director was like,
the world is really
what? That person signed up for digital giving. I never thought that that would happen. So don't underestimate your church. Don't just assume that just because somebody's older that they're not going to do this. You know, people get into rhythms and patterns and they do things that they've always done. That's the case of everyone in every generation. That's not just the older generation. It's just that the older generation has a longer series of patterns than the younger generation. But you know, even when I was young, I kind of took the same way to school every day. I mean, so we all do this.
I thought there was only one road to your school.
No, there's different ways when I was younger.
I guess, yeah, you as a teenager would have found some different ways.
Yeah. But, you know, you get into these patterns and rhythms. Everyone does that. But don't assume that just because they're older, they're not going to do it. They may be the quickest to get on board because they're the ones who are most loyal to the church. You just don't know. And again, it gets back to this idea of experiment right now. Don't hit the pause button. Hit the reset button. This is your opportunity. It's a tough one. It's a tough thing to walk through right now, but it is a big opportunity. So, I would say, senior adults may very well adapt. In fact, the best feedback that we're getting on our digital services, which obviously we want in-person services, but the best feedback we're getting is from our senior adults. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Let me tell you something that we are finding, and this is primarily coming through Church Answers. We have a continuous conversation on the coronavirus, and then we have some other conversations that are ancillary related, like digital giving. And we're seeing this consistently, and I think this is kind of news. This will be our news break, if you will. We're seeing that one of the most successful things that is taking place digitally as the experiments are taking place are short-term classes and studies. We used to call them closed-in studies. They were open-in, where they would go on and on and on, and just you're in the same community group, you're in the same Sunday school class. That's an open class. A closed class has a specific start time and a specific end time. And what we are finding is churches are saying those are well attended. These 4, 6, maybe stretch at 8 weeks, but 4 and 6 week studies are being very well attended on Zoom and other other platforms where they can communicate. So, you know, flash, this may be something for the future. You'll continue to have the gathered church. You'll continue to have probably groups that gather in person. But hey, if you really want to get some disciple modules out, you're probably old enough now, Sam, at 40 years old, to remember the churches that you were in had discipleship training courses and training, and it was on Sunday nights. Well, this may be a new form that is taking place. So that's our newsflash, just to let you know that's what we're finding.
Yeah, absolutely. Our groups have started a digital strategy at West Bradenton. They are shorter in duration, and there's many, many different ways to do that. But Zoom is a good platform. For your groups, because most groups are sized, 8 to 12? I know there's some larger classes, but sure. We're finding a lot of success with all generations of connecting digitally through groups. And we're asking that question, how does this continue in the future? This is not a Band-Aid. It's not a pause button. It's us saying, maybe this can enhance what we're already doing in person. Maybe this way of communicating is going to be good. And maybe there's a way for us not to replace in-person gatherings, in-person groups, but to enhance what we're already doing and capture more people that need to be discipled. So these are tools that can be used right now. Get out there and experiment. Your people will be very forgiving. Try something different.
Let me go back to the past, the 1980s. You probably remember 1980 the best of all the years, since you were born in that year. It's probably one of your most memorable.
It's very vivid, yes.
Tell you what was going on in the 1980s. Basically, you could look at attendance this way. Worship service had a certain attendance, and there were exceptions to this. For example, the Southern Baptist Convention tended to have a higher group or Sunday school attendance. But generally, this is what you found. You had a worship attendance. Then you would have your ongoing groups, mostly called Sunday school back then, that typically were about 50% of worship attendance. And then you had discipleship groups that were typically 50% of Sunday school attendance, or another way of saying it, 25% of worship attendance. In other words, each of those sequences got smaller: worship, Sunday school, and then some type of discipleship. This is an opportunity to increase that discipleship short-term studies, because what we're hearing now is more and more people are participating in this than pastors thought would ever happen. In fact, some of the infrequent attenders are now coming into these short-term groups, and it may get them into ongoing groups and ultimately the gathered worship. It's a good thing to be watching.
Yes.
Okay, this one as well. Personnel costs can be reduced in the digital world. This is what we're hearing, particularly from Church Answers. Okay, we don't have people in the office like we used to, and we're doing okay. We don't have this position. I'm not going to name a position because I'll be stepping on toes with this position or that position, and we've moved it to digitally, and it tends to be working fine. We're actually finding out, said some churches, some church leaders, that we have moved people to digital and they're more productive in their particular job. That is not true for all of them, but most churches felt like they had to have a heavy front office because of foot traffic coming in. And obviously during the coronavirus days, that didn't happen, but they're saying, you know, we didn't have that much foot traffic anyway. So that's another thing that's happening, is church leaders are now evaluating their personnel costs. And another reason that they're evaluating it, of course, is many of them had to make cuts, and they're saying, what can we keep and what do we have to say we can no longer do? That's a big thing taking place.
Yes. And it's good to be asking those personnel decisions in this new digital world. Personally, we're trying to figure out, just because we think that stewardship in this season is keeping people employed, particularly for the local economy. So we're taking the posture of how do we keep people working? Because that's going to be best for the local economy. You don't always default there. I mean, you know, sometimes you do need to go through layoffs. Sometimes you do need to reduce staff. There are many, many times when that needs to happen, because churches can get over, they can have too much staff. But in this environment, I think it's better to think of stewardship in terms of, wow, the economy, particularly local economies, really need as much employment as possible. So we're trying to do everything we can to keep people employed. That being said, how you do your hours could drastically.
Exactly.
Even if you're, you may not agree with me on, layoffs or no layoffs. Okay, I get that. You know, I'm trying to protect our employment as much as I can at the church. But even if you disagree with me on that, and you think that now is the time for layoffs, there is still this idea that your 20 hours or your 10 hours that was dedicated to this, whatever it is, can be completely reallocated into a digital strategy, and it may be more efficient, more fruitful, and you may find that that person does a better job in this digital world.
And then lastly, as we wrap this up, a lot of prayer ministries are thriving in this digital world. People are really staying connected. Sometimes it's through our community group at our church. We're the old people. And within the community group, your mom and I are the oldest within the old people.
That's not surprising, Dad. Well, at least not of you. I mean, mom's pretty young, but you're old.
I know. I'm the second oldest person in our church. I mean, I go to Sunday gathered worship and I say, thank God for Dan. He's the only one. Dan's the only one that is older. So every now and then, Jess will ask me to preach, and he'll call it Senior Adult Sunday. So that's my role there. Prayer ministries are thriving. My community group sends text messages. We talk about Paul is our prayer leader. He's actually our prayer leader at the church, but he's also in the community group. And so he'll send texts and emails, and we're staying connected. And I'm also listening to some in Church Answers, reading some of their comments that they are finding prayer apps where people are connecting and talking to one another about prayer needs.
Yeah. And you don't have to reinvent the wheel here. I mean, there are some very basic things that you can do. One of the things that we've done through our domain is we've set up some different links. So westb.org goes to a YouTube channel, and then prayer.westb.org goes to a Google form where you can submit a prayer request, and give.westb.org goes to our giving page. And so we've taken this opportunity just to train people of where to go digitally. And so with a prayer request, all that you have to do is just put a forward on your current domain, even if it's a, you know, a subdomain like prayer.whatever, and then it can just go, people can remember that domain, and it just takes them to a Google form. All of that can be done for free. So if you're wondering, how much does this cost, and what, you know, it can be done in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and it can be done for free. And that's how we're gathering our prayer requests. And we have had just as many prayer requests come digitally as we would have throughout the week at our church, even though we can't gather. And we've got a prayer team that's praying. They're writing notes to people, letting them know that they're praying. So there is good ways to do this on the cheap, if not for free.
There are so many good prayer apps out there. I'm hesitant to mention one, but I will say the one that is mentioned most frequently in the Church Answers community is called Echo Prayer. And Echo Prayer keeps track of prayers. You can share prayer requests with others. They're reminders to remind you to pray. You can have notifications when you have prayed for others. So I'm hearing a lot about Echo Prayer, but you can do your own research. I don't know the company very well, but I will just simply say that at Church Answers, I hear more about Echo Prayer as the app of choice than any others. There are plenty out there, but just do something.
Yes. Yeah. You need to be connecting with your people through prayer digitally. If you're not, you're missing a huge opportunity, because there's a ton of prayer requests out there. And by the way, this is how you're going to learn about, we've asked the question in this season, like, okay, has a church member been laid off? I mean, do we know of people that are struggling? Do we know of anyone that's sick? Does anyone have symptoms? You may actually discover, you know, the needs of the church through the prayer form, which is common. I mean, church, you sit in your prayer meetings, and it's not uncommon to hear about everyone's ailments at a prayer meeting. But we kind of poke fun at that, because, you know, how many hip replacements are we going to have this week? But that being said, now is the time where you need to be especially in tune to some of those physical ailments, because there's a very serious virus going around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's now is the time to care deeply about those things. You should always care, obviously, but now especially, because there's a lot of pain that's going on, physical pain and the pain of just the economic pain. So get that digital prayer communication out there, so that you can not only know what to pray for and who to pray for, but just the needs that may be occurring in your church.
I hope this has been helpful to you listeners, to just what we are learning from others about this time where people have been more thoroughly immersed in the digital world. Many of them didn't plan to be. Most of them didn't plan to be to the depth that they are, but they are. And so just want to let you know about that. Also, just want to remind you that we have several resources that during this season, we have just brought the prices down very low, understanding the economics that are there. And this is a time for you to be planning for the future. And by just I would say it is our best resource. And someone would challenge me and say, no, I like this other resource. But Pray and Go is absolutely being used by churches to not only teach them how to pray, but then to pray for their community one house at a time. It's a very non-threatening approach to it. So we have a system-wide sale, 40 to 50% off. And you see the link there. Again, this is a time for you. Sam has said this well, you know, don't hit the pause button, hit the reset button. One of the things you can do is hit that reset button for prayer. And so just go to the link, and it's called Sitewide Sale, and look at the resources. But particularly, I wanted you to look at Pray and Go. Thanks again for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and your favorite podcasting app. Join us together at Tom Rainer and Church Answers, where we are growing healthy churches together.